This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we're taking a look at the issue of homelessness among veterans. Coming up, we'll hear from the Program Director of Ministry with Community in Kalamazoo, Christine Wine. Ministry with Community is a walk-in shelter open to anyone. Wine says two representatives from the Veterans Affairs Administration come in weekly.
I think it's really helpful because it's a group of veterans. You know, I haven't been in the military, so I don't know what that experience is going to be like for you or what coming home is going to be like.
Later, we'll be joined by the Veterans Services Coordinator for Kalamazoo County, James Tucker. He'll tell us about the problems of homeless veterans in Kalamazoo County and the services available to them. Tucker says sometimes veterans don't take advantage of those benefits.
And one thing I heard a homeless veteran say before, this was last year at a conference I went through, he was like, the military teaches you how to survive. They teach you how to go from day to day, how to be it, unfortunately, if you have to go to a dumpster or go into an abandoned house or whatever you have to do to survive.
But first, we're going to hear about one veteran's efforts to help the homeless. Kalamazoo reporter and WMUK correspondent Chris Killian has brought us a number of stories from across the country. This one comes from Portland, Maine.
How can we help you?
I would like a medium French vanilla coffee, extra, extra.
Is that a hot coffee?
Yes, please.
It's 10 p.m. and Roger Goodoe gets his evening fix of caffeine. He starts every night like this, pulling his Dodge Caravan through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru on Congress Street in downtown Portland, Maine. Then he takes off into the night on an endless search for those whose home is a back alley or dark corner here in the state's largest city. Roger puts on a bright orange safety vest. Markers and tire pressure gauges fill the pockets. Patriotic pins and medals from his service in the U.S. Navy hang from the fabric. He wants to be seen by those who often hide. He lights a cigar, takes a few puffs, and we're on our way. In his van, Roger points into the darkness at a city park. I see nothing, but he knows what he's looking for.
See him all the way in the back? The very corner. I'm pretty good at spotting.
Most people don't see them.
Roger is a one-man social work agency. He's the go-to guy for the city's homeless when they need help from anything from bedbugs to legal aid or free eyeglasses from the Lions Club. He runs the Southern Maine Veterans Alliance that helps homeless vets but also extends a hand to anyone without a place to go. He'll administer first aid, give someone a ride, be an ear for a lonely soul. But the thing Roger is most known for in Portland are the blankets he gives out for free, collected from veterans groups and charity organizations.
When it gets cold, these people are going to need me. I'm their last hope of having a warm night.
We don't find any veterans this night, but we do find homeless folks struggling with mental illnesses. Many out here have one. Already cut off from society, their disability often puts them even further away from the help they need because of fear or not being able to trust others. Roger spots a man sleeping on a bench, half covered with a bath towel. The man jolts awake as Roger approaches.
Oh, you see my vest, and you don't have a blanket, weigh me down. I'll give you one. All right?
There are several homeless shelters in Portland, and Roger will be the first to tell you that they do a good job. But like many other large urban areas, the shelters here are nearly always full and often are not equipped to deal with the mentally ill.
Some people can't deal with it. And when I asked him, why didn't you go to the shelter, first thing he said was mental illness. And these are the forgotten people. These are the people that there's no help for. If I don't bring them blankets, they're going to freeze this winter. And I can't let that happen. The good people. You know, they're afraid to take meds or they're afraid of a doctor. I met a woman one night. She was afraid to go indoors because she lost her family to a fire. You know, everybody has a reason.
Over by the post office, Roger spots a woman huddled in the corner of a bus stop shelter, shivering. We get out and walk over. There's something moving beneath her sweatshirt, pulling and stretching the dirty, worn fleece. He hands her a blanket. It's a baby squirrel that's the focus of her affection.
You're going to be okay? If I see you again some night, I'll give you another blanket, all right? Bye-bye.
We get back in the van. A mixture of anger and utter disappointment swirls on Roger's face.
It's sad. I hate this job. I first, I didn't understand. I thought she was maybe talking about a child that was deceased or something. And I saw a little tail, and that's her baby. Let me show you something around the corner. It's sad.
We drive a short distance, and Roger parks the van, leans back into his seat, and points to a parking structure in front of us.
See that parking garage? Right there. Just last week, a guy jumped off and committed suicide. A homeless guy. You never know what triggers him. But, that's right, he jumped off the top. It's a shame. It's not a way you want to live.
According to the federal government, about one of every four homeless people in this country suffers from some form of severe mental illness. These are disabilities that can keep a person from developing relationships that would let them get help, maybe even permanent housing. In comparison, only 6% of all Americans are severely mentally ill. Low on gas, we stop to fill up. A small ongoing can drive and little donations help, but Roger finances the vast majority of his work out of his own pocket. It isn't easy. He lives on a fixed income from a VA disability program.
My kids sacrifice everything. We don't have much money by the end of the month. But you do what you gotta do.
Roger is relentless, maybe even obsessed in his passion to help out those who call Portland's streets home. He identifies with them. You see, he too has a mental illness and spent time living on the streets. He knows what that fear feels like.
I came to Portland with the clothes on my back. I had a breakdown.
For hours, we just drive, the van filled with Roger's cigar smoke and the soft tick of the turn signal blinker. We see homeless folks tucked into dark places, under bushes, in the back of a vacant lot. But there's nothing to give them. There are no more blankets.
You don't have enough blankets.
I know. I never do.
For WMUK, I'm Chris Killian.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness says that since the start of the war in Afghanistan in 2001, more than 100,000 combat veterans have sought help for mental illness. The NAMI also finds that only about half of troops who experience symptoms of mental illness seek treatment. Some problems, such as the economy and a lack of affordable housing, affect veterans and non-veterans alike. But the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans says the lingering effect of substance abuse, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other mental illness contribute to military veterans ending up homeless. Christine Wine is Program Director at Ministry with Community in Kalamazoo. Christine, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do with Ministry with Community?
Yes, I'm the Program Director at Ministry with Community, and we're a daytime shelter and resource center, so anybody can come in any day of the week. We're open 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 11 hours a day. And we've got social workers that you can see kind of on a walk-in basis, which is really unique. A lot of places don't offer that kind of drop-in social work.
Specifically, if someone does come in and perhaps shows some signs of mental illness, what happens?
So if someone is in crisis, especially if we haven't, you know, it might be their first time coming to Ministry with Community, we try to get them in right away to see one of the social workers. And so we meet them where they're at that day, whatever kind of situation they might be in. Maybe they just lost their job or they're feeling overwhelming with anxiety or depression. We're going to help them out and try and get the resources that they need.
And when you get them the resources that they need, you do not do a diagnosis. Let's be clear here. You don't do a diagnosis.
We do not do diagnosing or assessment in that sense at Ministry with Community. Kind of informal case management or counseling, kind of in between of trying to get them set up with some long-term support.
And you may give a referral.
Yep. We give a lot of referrals to the community.
So when you see people come in and there is a problem with perhaps a mental illness, do you often see people who are military veterans?
We do see veterans. Like we were talking before, I think a big issue in mental health in this community is barriers to service. So we try to reduce as many barriers as possible. And part of that, it can be a pro and a con, really, is that we don't ask a lot of information when somebody comes in the door. So it's really based on self-reporting. So we do have veterans that are there. We've got two veterans from the VA that do outreach there on a weekly basis as a support system. But we do see veterans, and they are, some of them are struggling. And so that's why a support group like the one that's on Fridays at 10 a.m. is really important, because it's a peer support model. So it's a veteran, you know, who's been in the service, he's out, he's been through similar experiences, and he's coming in to kind of sit beside somebody while they're trying to do the same thing.
So if a veteran is there and you know they're a veteran, it's because they've revealed that information.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So it's possible someone is there and they have just chosen not to say that they're a veteran.
Correct.
Is there still a major stigma attached to mental illness in general?
Oh, absolutely. I think even in the general population, there's a stigma to that. And so I think multiply that for someone that might be experiencing homelessness, or they're not quite sure where to turn or what resources are available. They're vulnerable. They're scared. I think that magnetizes the stigma.
And makes people perhaps reluctant to seek help.
Oh, absolutely. And the systems sometimes that are in place, maybe they've sought out help before, didn't have a good experience, so they're going to be reluctant to try and seek out help again. Or they might have had insurance, but only so many sessions were covered, and now they're out of sessions. And some of the, you know, if you've got Medicaid, there's not a lot of places in Kalamazoo that provide that service with Medicaid. So there's a lot of barriers when someone is trying to seek out assistance for mental health.
But as you mentioned, Ministry of the Community is trying to remove some of those barriers.
Right.
Can you help people navigate that and,
yes,
and find the places maybe that do accept Medicaid, for instance?
Yep. That's where our social workers really come in to play, because we can actually sit down, you know, we can bring somebody into our office in a quieter space and actually have a conversation where they, one, make sure that they know that they're safe. And sometimes it takes a little bit. You kind of build that relationship and that rapport over time. But that's exactly what we're there to do.
Is there enough awareness about the services which are available in terms of mental illness, referrals through a place like Ministry of the Community? Is the public aware enough of that to perhaps lend assistance to someone who may be dealing with mental illness?
I think there's minimal awareness. I don't think enough awareness about the impact that mental health actually has. You know, if you're depressed or you have anxiety or you're suffering from PTSD, that impacts every other aspect of your life, or you don't know how to get out of it or where to go. So I think in that sense, there's not enough awareness of what the impacts of that are. You know, I'm sure you've seen the billboards of, like, you know, if you had a broken leg, you'd take medicine for it, that kind of thing. And not that medication is always the answer, but it's that
but
same
treatment of some
yeah,
sort.
But treatment of some sort, whether that be medication for a while or for however long you need, or seeking counseling or getting treatment for, you know, going to a support group. I don't think that's looked upon as an option.
You mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder earlier, PTSD,
yeah,
and some people who suffer from that are not veterans. They can suffer for other things. But when you see this, I mean, is this a major problem for that person, something that needs immediate attention? Is that sometimes what you see at Ministry of the Community?
You know, I think with our system, you know, I'm talking about system like society and the systems we have in place, I think people learn to get by. And so it might go undiagnosed, or they're pretty sure they have it, or you know what I mean? People can do their own research. And
perhaps for a while they're coping with it.
And they're just coping. So I think having a mental health issue or concern, and then on top of that, maybe you're struggling with homelessness, that in and of itself can also be traumatic. So there's different levels of trauma. And I think our society in itself isn't equipped to really come alongside and gather together. I think we're working towards that, and there's different models out there that are definitely trying to make headway. But on a day-to-day basis, I think we can be doing a better job.
Do you think there is some more awareness about the issue of mental health in general, and perhaps related to the military after, for instance, the shooting at Fort Hood, where we had someone who was there being treated, and then we had, you know, a tragedy that resulted? Does that, as tragic as that is, does it perhaps bring the issue into the public spotlight a little more?
Yeah, but that to me, is my personal opinion, is that's a symptom. You know, we're waiting for this explosion to happen, and really we could be taking steps so that things like that don't happen. You know, people are potentially getting ignored, and or maybe they do want to seek out treatment, but they don't have insurance or they don't have money, and there's not a lot of places in town that offer services. And I should mention that all of our services are free. So if you don't have income, you know, you can come to us and we'll try and work something out with you. And there are some health clinics do have like sliding fee scales, so we can help refer to that and talk to, you know, folks at their office and advocate on your behalf. But I don't think there's enough.
Well, we mentioned awareness of the services out there. What more needs to be done? I mean, what more services do we need that can help get at this issue of mental illness in general and veterans in particular?
If I could dream big.
Go ahead.
I'm going to dream big here.
Sure.
I think if all of the human service agencies were trained in a similar model, so we're, you know, and I get that there needs to be room based on what services you're offering, but if we could all be trained in a similar model and really come together as agencies and collaborate around individuals and be a support system, because sometimes what happens is a person kind of gets sent to one place and then to another and then to another, and this is one of our own kind of system cons, is that, like I said, we don't do a lot of intake right away. We don't do anything, but we build this information up over time with someone. So I think if we could come together as a community and the agencies in it and really kind of wrap around somebody who's interested in that, I think that could be helpful.
How big a problem is untreated mental illness, not just for that person who is mentally ill, but for society at large?
Well, I mean, you could do the cost analysis if you wanted. And I think the impact is huge. Kalamazoo is rich in resources as far as agencies that are out there. So even that, the amount of resources that we have is a cost, and employees and, you know, folks that are needing some kind of medical assistance, you'll probably find them in the ER repeatedly, or needing to get an ambulance ride repeatedly, or, you know what I mean? Or police need to come and help take care of a situation. So I think the cost is huge. And what I'm concerned about really is the cost for that individual. You know, we're a community and we're supposed to be looking out for each other. And I think that we're all in this together. And so I think each person needs to take that individual responsibility of and accountability. This could be your neighbor. We're really all one paycheck away from needing the services that we're stigmatizing people for. So I'm a firm believer in we each need to do our part.
Christine, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Christine Wine is Program Director of Ministry with Community in Kalamazoo. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Obama administration has said it wants to end chronic homelessness among veterans by 2015. Statistics can be hard to pin down, but the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans estimates that 12% of homeless adults are veterans, even though vets make up about 7% of the U.S. population. Half of those homeless veterans have serious mental illness, and 70% have substance abuse problems. Veterans who don't have a home, are in danger of losing their home, or need help in some other way, do have options for assistance. We're going to discuss those with James Tucker. He is Veterans Service Coordinator for Kalamazoo County. James Tucker, thank you very much for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Glad to be here.
Explain a little bit about what your job is with Kalamazoo County.
Okay, my job here with Kalamazoo County, I'm the director of the Kalamazoo County Veterans Service Office. And what we do, we help facilitate veterans' issues, everything from getting compensations, claims, pensions, getting things such as medical assistance that they may need. Sometimes if they have food issues, we help out with food vouchers, gas vouchers. So those are just some of the things that we do.
And to explain your background, you yourself are a veteran, correct?
Yes, I'm a veteran. I have 21 years in the United States Army. My first 8 years were active duty, and then I joined the National Guard, and now I'm serving in the reserves. Love it. I'm a native of Kalamazoo, and so it feels good to be a positive role model for a lot of people that are looking for one.
So in your position with the county, how much do you see in terms of homeless veterans? How big a problem do you see it being in our area?
It's problematic. What happens, we look at homeless veterans are the ones that we see sleeping up under bridges, the ones we see in the gospel missions, the ones that we see downtown Bronson Park. But we're in charge of the county at large, of all the municipalities. And so we really don't have a gauge on how many homeless veterans there are, because homeless is not just not having or sleeping outside, but homeless is also being a couch surfer, if you will, you know, staying with your cousin for a week and then staying with some friends for another week. And, you know, you're going from pillar to post. So we really don't have a gauge on the number of homeless veterans. But when I go downtown, when I go to the Gospel Mission, when I go to Rose Park, which is the memorial over by the Kalamazoo River, you have veterans that sleep down there. They even have a tent village off of Lover's Lane to where you can go down there and see homeless veterans. So the issue's out there, but I'm scared that for some reason the county, sometimes, do we really want to tackle that issue? We talk big things about veterans, how much we appreciate them, how much we want to see them succeed. But yet when we see them out there, you know, what are we really doing? You know, we pull off the highway and we see individuals, male and female, sometimes families out there that say, I'm a homeless vet. Can you help me out? Granted, we have to look and question, you know, are they using that as a crutch to get help? Or are they really true veterans? You know, and sometimes I'll stop by and I'll give them a card. Hey, you know, come see me. We can help you out.
What are some of the things that contribute to veterans ending up homeless?
It could be a plethora of things. It could be coming back and having a drug abuse issue. It can be having an alcohol issue. So it's not necessarily the fact of not having the resources to be successful when they get back. Some of them are dealing with their own vices. You know, if we talk about PTSD, you know, it's a known fact of me having been overseas is that when you come back, sometimes being infantry, that when you come back, you know, sometimes you have struggles of being in a closed environment, say like this a studio room that we're in, you know, it's closed, or they may not want to work with a lot of people, or they may not want to work around a place where there's a lot of sound. They may have a job to where they can drive trucks for the city. But what they're remembering, every time they see a pothole, they swerve out the way. So they and what happens is, just like in Vietnam or even people that have not served and are dealing with some type of PTSD, they may try to smoke that issue away, drink that issue away, which can cause them not to have a job or lose a job, which is one thing. Another issue of coming back is not being hired, you know, because there's a lot of human resources. There are a lot of people that are out there, like you and I talked prior to the taping, is that, you know, they begin to judge us, if you will, with the PTSD. You know, will she crack? Will they break? Will they show up? Dealing with the fact, like myself, being in the Army Reserves and having been gone for 3 weeks from my job, well, we can't afford him or her to be gone for 3 weeks. And so, therefore, they don't want to hire veterans. And education, you know. But the thing about it is, when you get a soldier that served 6 to 20 years, they may not have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, but they have a work ethic that the college student that just graduated, will just graduate in May, this coming May, June, or next December, a soldier that has done 4 years has more experience than that individual who just has the schoolwork. Now, I'm all for education all day long, but sometimes we have to look at that. I know that this person will be on time, that they have on-the-job training for 4 years, 8 years, 20 years. But sometimes they don't look at that because of the status quo that a lot of businesses and organizations have to have.
What is available to a veteran who may be homeless or perhaps has fallen upon hard times and they could be in danger of becoming homeless sometime soon?
Well, they have in Battle Creek is called Silver Star Homes. Silver Star Homes is where if you're a homeless veteran, you can go to them and then they'll take you to the process to get an apartment. They're going to start building some here in Kalamazoo. They haven't put a date out there yet. It's in the talks of trying to get a Silver Star here. They also have what's called HUD-VASH through VA. You can get with the VA, any VA in the country, and ask about HUD-VASH, and it's for homeless. And it's been, to me, a light in a dark place, because I never knew about HUD-VASH until someone came to my office thinking that the meeting was in there. And then when they came in, I was like, HUD-VASH? And now to see homeless veterans that we have instructed to go to HUD-VASH, instructed to go to Silver Star, and have them come back and say, you know what, I got an apartment. I seen one individual, I believe it was around the holiday season. I was at one of the local grocery stores. And he was like, aren't you the guy that works up there? I'm like, yeah. He was like, I got a place with HUD-VASH. And he was so excited. He said, I'm moving in a couple weeks. And, you know, and that made me excited because I seen the system work. And then when you allow the system to work, that's when you get the benefits. And what happens is sometimes people, they're so frustrated because the system has failed them that they don't want to try the system again. But I'm like, try it, because there are more things that are coming out. There are a lot of nonprofits that are out there now that want to help homeless veterans out. And so what I'm trying to do is gather those nonprofit organizations, gather different businesses to say, what can we do to help our homeless veterans out? I'm trying to deal with, I'm not going to put the names out there, but different organizations and businesses to where we're trying to collaborate to help our veterans. I mean, I look at it, we have a lot of these homes that are out there that are just sitting there. You know, not homes that need to be foreclosed, homes that are not need to be demolished, but just sitting there because they're smaller homes. Let's use those homes.
But might need
homes.
To be rehabbed in some
right.
way.
It could be and some of them may not be need to be rehabbed. It could be like the studio we're sitting in. There's nothing wrong with it. No one just lived here, been here in so long that it just has that, you know, that stale smell that a home can get after a while. We have all these homes out here, but we want to make a dime off of them. But let's say, hey, look, what can we do to help these veterans out? We have a lot of closed businesses, buildings that we can turn into apartments for our homeless veterans. And we have a lot of people say we want to do things, but when it comes to put the time and the money in, where are they at?
Do you think that there is enough knowledge out there in the community about the services that are available? In other words, do you need to be more visible, or, and not just, you know, your office, but other offices that are trying to help veterans? Does there need to be a greater awareness that all of this exists?
Yes, it does. It does. As you and I talked, I've been in this position now for since March 2013, and I moved back to Kalamazoo in 2005. My wife and I from out of active duty. My wife, she's 100% veteran. And we actually had to walk the paperwork through. And a lot of people are like, well, that's fine. It is, but we never knew that this office existed in Kalamazoo. And every day we'd ride up and down Gull Road, you know, see Nazareth College or, you know, every day. And never knew that there was a Kalamazoo County Veterans Service Office in there. Now, mind you, if we had known, that would have been less time and energy we would have had to spend going from Kalamazoo to Detroit to Ann Arbor to back to Battle Creek. You know, we could have went to the office and they could have helped out. Okay, you need this paperwork and that paperwork. So it does need to be made known, you know, and that's one thing that Aaron and I have done, you know, since we took over the office. Our predecessors, Don Jarzenbeck and Sue Ware, they did an awesome job, you know, and now what we're doing, we're sustaining what they had as well as building upon it, you know, so more people can know. We're averaging 135 veterans since we've come into the office, where there was an average of 65, 75 a month prior in the few years prior. So we've been getting out there. With Aaron and I both being a veteran, we have compassion, we have the empathy, we have the sympathy, but we let them know that it's going to be a process. And we tell a lot of the veterans, you know, don't be scared. That's the word I'm going to use. I know a lot of veterans are probably saying, no, I'm not scared, but don't be scared or don't be intimidated to come see us, you know, because that's what we are here for. That's what we get paid for by the Kalamazoo County government. We don't get paid by quota, by how many veterans come in. We get paid by the county government through our salary to make sure that these veterans are successful, that they can succeed and they can get everything that they rightfully deserve.
James Tucker, thank you very much for your time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
James Tucker is Veterans Service Coordinator for Kalamazoo County. Earlier, we heard from Ministry with Community of Kalamazoo Program Director Christine Wine on mental health, and reporter Chris Killian took us to the streets of Portland, Maine, as one veteran tried to help the homeless of that city. Links with more information and longer versions of the interviews heard on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.